Welcome to Financial Rules, the Egan Berger and Weiner Financial News Radio Show, a monthly podcast show that offers insights into some of the top trends happening in the financial markets. My name is Michael Egan. I'm a founding partner with Egan Berger and Weiner, as well as a certified financial planner practitioner, along with my partners Sheldon Weiner and Brian Beatty, and several other advisors of our firm. We'll be looking forward to sharing our thoughts with you. Asking questions in each episode will be Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of the Incandescent Radio Network. Today I'm going to be talking about IRAs 101. What do you need to know? And now I'll hand it over to Hope.
Thank you, Mike. We're really interested in learning about this important topic. But first, let's start off by having me tell our listeners a little bit about you. Michael Egan has 21 years of experience in the financial services industry. He's been a mutual fund analyst and an accountant and financial planner. A graduate of the George Washington University with a degree in finance, Mike hosted a weekly radio show previously on financial planning in the Washington market. He's also been a presenter on retirement planning for Fairfax County Public Schools Adult and Community Education Program, and he's an active member of the Financial Planning Association. A son of Irish immigrants, Mike and his wife Terry have been married for more than two decades. Originally a native of Connecticut, he and Terry moved to Northern Virginia in 1990. Mike is an avid New England sports fan and roots passionately for the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, and the Yukon Huskies. So that's a little bit about Mike. Now let's talk about IRAs. So Mike, first question, what are the different types of IRAs out there?
Well, that's a good question, Hope. There's two basic types of IRAs. There's the old one, what I call the traditional IRA, as well as the Roth IRA. So let's kind of explain the differences here. In the traditional IRA, you're putting money in for your retirement. So both of these are retirement plans. You got to think of this as money that's really 59 and a half or later, not money for a car that you're going to be buying in 2 years, unless, of course, you happen to be a little older when you start for that purchase. But money in the traditional IRA will go in to this account, and you'll either get a deduction on it or you won't, and that's dependent upon what how much income you make and whether or not you're an active participant in another retirement plan already. Once the money gets in the plan, it grows tax deferred, which means you don't pay any tax on the money while it's growing. So if you earn 10% on your investments that year, you get to retain the full 10%. And then on the way out, you pay ordinary income tax. So again, you may or may not get a tax deduction on the way in. You will get tax deferred growth on your earnings while the assets are inside of the IRA. And then on the way out, you pay ordinary income tax on the withdrawals. Again, provided you pull the money out after age 59 and a half, it's only ordinary income tax you pay. If you pull it out before 59 and a half, you'll have a 10% penalty. So that's the reason why you typically don't want to use it for a goal other than retirement. The Roth IRA is kind of the opposite. So the Roth IRA, you put the money in, but you never get a tax deduction. So it's always after tax dollars being contributed to the investments. Again, like the traditional IRA, the money grows tax deferred. So if I earn 10% on the money, I get to keep the 10%. But on the way out, and here's the big difference, on the way out of the Roth IRA, the money comes out tax-free. So your contributions, which were already after tax anyways, would come out tax-free. But all of the growth on those contributions that you made over the years also comes out tax-free. So it's a very different dynamic. And a lot of people would say, well, which one do you prefer? And I don't think it really matters as long as you hedge your bets. We all know tax law is going to change over time. And provided that we don't have all of our money in one tax strategy versus the other, I think a good balance is there. So if a lot of your assets that you've already saved for retirement are going to be fully taxed as ordinary income on the way out, like traditional 401k plans or a traditional IRA that you have, then adding money to a Roth IRA might be a great supplement to that.
Mm. Very interesting. So what are the contribution limits for 2013?
So they have the ability to change, and they did change this year. So for and the contribution limits are the same whether it's a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. So the maximum you can put in 2013 is $5,500. If you're over the age of 50, you get to do what's called a catch-up provision, which is an extra $1,000 you could put in. So again, if you're 51, the max you can put in is $6,500, or if you're 49, the max you can put in is $5,500. Having said that, there's one other caveat. To make a contribution to an IRA, you have to have earned income. So if you're not working at all and you're not married to someone who's working, then you really can't contribute to an IRA. Or if you only make $3,000 for the year, the most you could put into the IRA is the $3,000 that you earned. So there's that little caveat there that's a little bit different.
Yeah, so you want to maybe come up with a different or option if that's the case.
Absolutely.
So talk about beneficiary designations. Are they important and how does that work?
Absolutely. So in retirement plans, your beneficiary designations determine who gets the money when you die, not your will. So you may have said in my will, I want everything to go to my wife, but if you weren't really focused on that when you were setting up your IRA and either you mentioned the children or someone else, that beneficiary designation is going to override your will for that asset.
Just that asset.
Yes. So it's important to make sure that you get it right. It's also important that, you know, because this asset, the IRAs, just like 401ks, would avoid probate provided you name a person as the beneficiary. So if you forget to name a contingent beneficiary, let's say you named your spouse as the primary beneficiary, and then by the time you die, your spouse has already predeceased you, you never filled out the section for contingent beneficiary, now an asset that would have skipped probate, the expense and the time of probate, has to go through probate because there's no identifiable beneficiary listed on the account, so then it goes back to the will to determine where the money needs to go. So I definitely say spend the time making sure your primary and contingent beneficiaries are set up on the IRA and review them every couple of years just to make sure that nothing's changed.
Okay, makes good sense. So remember that, our listeners out there. So tell us about some distribution rules. How does that work?
So again, I think I've got onto this earlier, but these are retirement plans. So ideally, the money needs to be in these plans to your 59 and a half. If you take the money out early, there's some type of penalty. In the traditional IRA, if you take the money out before age 59 and a half, then not only do you have to pay tax, but you have to pay an additional 10% penalty. So if you're in the 25% federal bracket and you live in the state of Virginia, which has a 6% state bracket, you're paying 31% tax on that withdrawal. And if you're under age 59 and a half when you do it, you got another 10% on top of that, or 41% tax. So ideally, you want to avoid that 10% penalty at all cost if you can in terms of your withdrawals. Now, there's a few exceptions there if you're buying your first home and a few other items, but theoretically, let's just assume, keep it simple here, this is retirement money. If I want to do other things with it, then I should be saving in other ways for those goals. With the Roth IRA, it also has that 59 and a half label, but there is a little bit more flexibility here. Since the contributions you made in the Roth IRA were always after tax dollars, meaning you never got a write-off on them when you put the money in, if you pull the money out before 59 and a half, what they view is that you're pulling out your contributions first. So since those contributions were after tax dollars, there's no tax on them, and they're not going to assess a penalty on that either. If, however, you start dipping into your growth, then you're going to have to pay tax on the growth. Now, this is in your Roth, so ordinarily, if you waited till over 59 and a half, that growth would be coming out tax-free. By pulling it out before 59 and a half, now you've lost that tax-free benefit, and there's an additional 10% penalty on that growth as well. So it really is just, it's dinging you both ways. So ideally, in a Roth, the rule is you want to be at least 59 and a half, and the account has to be open for at least 5 years from the date of the first contribution to pull the money out tax-free. For most of our clients, we typically advise, in many cases, holding the Roth as one of your last assets to spend, so you get more compound interest on the asset with the least amount of tax.
Right. Okay. So bottom line, when it comes to Roth IRAs, tell us the three most important things to remember.
So the three most important things to remember when it comes to IRAs in general is, number one, I am planning for my retirement. So this is long-term money, not short-term money. Number two, I'm going to get a tax benefit. The question is, which one's going to be better for me? The upfront deduction, if I'm eligible for that, but then paying ordinary income tax on the way out, or with the Roth IRA, The after-tax contribution going in, no deduction, with the benefit of tax-free withdrawals later in retirement. Now again, there's one additional caveat with the Roth. If you make too much money, the IRS won't let you do it. Mm-hmm. So in the traditional IRA, there's a cap on what you can make, and it depends on whether or not you have a retirement plan at work as to whether or not you'll get the deduction, but you can always make the contribution. In the Roth IRA, because it's too juicy on the way out with that tax-free benefit, they're going to tell you if you make too much money, this isn't for you. And right now, the limits for the IRAs have actually increased a little bit. So for Roth IRA, if you are single and you make less than $112,000 modified AGI, modified adjusted gross income, you can do a Roth no problem. So you can put in the $5,500 if you're under 50, or $6,500 if you're over 50, no problem. Between $112,000 and $127,000, you can make a partial Roth contribution, but if you make over $127,000 and you're a single taxpayer, you cannot contribute to a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. For married couples filing jointly, you can make more and still contribute, and that limit starts at $178,000 modified adjusted gross income. So if you're a couple and you make less than that, one or both of you can contribute to the Roth, each putting in the $5,500 or the $6,500, depending on your age. If you make between $178,000 and $188,000, you kind of lose some of the ability to contribute. And after $188,000, you can no longer contribute to a Roth IRA. However, maybe you can do a Roth 401k, which we'll talk about in an upcoming episode.
Very good. Mike Egan, you always make this so clear and interesting. So now we know the difference between IRAs and Roth IRAs and some of the limitations, and we will definitely be talking about the 401k option in an upcoming episode. So you are listening to Finance Rules, the Eganberger and Weiner's financial news radio show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. Be sure to check us regularly at www.incandescentradio.com. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate your time.